Christine, Christian, and Charlotte and Nicholas in leading us in worship this morning. I want to take you back to your childhood for a moment, some longer than others. It's a hot summer day and a magnifying glass. You know perhaps where I'm going with this. An unsuspecting ant or some other bug is going to get a bit hot. Raise your hand if you did this as a kid. I don't know if I let my kids do this. They may not know about this. Somebody reminded me of this the other day, though, but talking about the challenges that we face in our lives, the magnifying glass, the circumstances of life are bringing heat to our existence, and it can get intense. The heat turns up when we're facing a medical crisis, or there's the constant pain of a lingering medical problem. The heat gets turned up when there is a relationship that is strained, or maybe it's about to end. The heat gets turned up when there is conflict with somebody in our lives. And King David, who we'll talk about a bit this morning in the Bible, he went through difficult situations. Some of those were consequences for his own actions, but he also had some enemies in his life. And so some of these situations, they were forced on him. But through it all, and the songs that we've been singing this morning, David had a deep longing for God, to know the God who loves us. He had a deep longing for God, the God who keeps us, who rescues us. Our problem, though, is that we can get distracted from pursuing God, from growing in knowing this God who is with us. There are things in our lives that can rob us of really pursuing and longing for God. So we are looking at some Psalms on our Sunday mornings for the next few weeks, and each speaker is going to focus on a particular psalm. And these are songs, they are poems, written by different authors, but ultimately they are the poetry of God. And so this morning we are going to consider Psalm 63. And so despite the tough things that David was going through, he had a longing for God. And I know many of you are in that place right now, in a tough spot. And so let this psalm be an example for us, not to focus on the problems, but to focus on God. Stir up our hearts in love and affection for the God who is with us. So many good psalms of comfort and hope, but we'll just focus on Psalm 63. And so if you do have your Bibles, could you open to Psalm 63? We'll read this together, all 11 verses. And as you listen to this poem, I will have it on the screen as well, but see David's intense longing and desire for God. And Nicholas mentioned this last week, that as we read these psalms, remember that they are poems. They are a work of art. And a key feature to these poems are the idea of parallelism, that there are two lines and the lines are related to each other. It might expand a thought. So as I read this psalm, see if you can look for that as we read it together. So this is the word of the Lord, starting at Psalm 63, verse 1. This is what it says. Actually, just before we get to verse 1, there is a little introduction. It says this: a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Remember that, the wilderness. Verse 1, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. Verse 7, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars shall be stopped. Longing for God. David and we ourselves can literally or figuratively find ourselves in the wilderness. This is where David was talking about, whether he wrote it in the wilderness or wrote it from his experience in the wilderness. And typically when we think of a wilderness, it would be a place that is lacking in food and water. It's a place of isolation. It could be a place of danger from the elements or from animals that are there. It's a desert, a wasteland. But even in the wilderness, when life was tough for David, he had a deep spiritual longing for God, for his God. And so we don't know the circumstances exactly that inspired David to write this psalm. And maybe that's the point, so that we can all relate to being in the wilderness to one degree or another. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, he talked about this thorn in the flesh that was given to him. Paul said this, that it was a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But what was that thorn? We don't know exactly. It's widely debated what it was. But again, maybe that's the point, because we all, as Christians, can experience a thorn in the flesh. And so in the same way, we don't know exactly what was happening with David when he was in the wilderness here. He could have been in the wilderness writing the psalm because he was running away from King Saul. So even though David had been anointed as king, Saul had invited him to sing songs to calm his own spirit, Saul's spirit. And even though one of Saul's sons, Jonathan, was one of David's closest friends, Saul wanted David dead. And so on several occasions, you can read in the books of Samuel that Saul was pursuing David. This is what it says in 1 Samuel 23. It says this, day after day, Saul searched for David, but God did not give David into Saul's hands. While David was in the wilderness, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. So maybe it was that occasion, but another one, David's own son, when David was king, his own son Absalom rebelled against him, and Absalom wanted to take the throne and to do that by force. And so David is warned of this, and he is able to flee from the city. And it says this in 2 Samuel 15, speaking of David leaving the city, everyone cried loudly as the king, that's David, and his followers passed by. They crossed the Kidron Valley and then went out towards the wilderness. So again, we don't know exactly where David is. These may be possibilities, but we can relate to being in the wilderness, a type of wilderness, a place of perhaps spiritual dryness, out of which, though, we can long for God. And this is what David did. Listen to these words again, verses 1 to 3. O God, you are my God. The mighty, all-powerful Creator God was David's God, God who is a promise-keeping God and also a friend and a helper. Is that God your God, just like David? David continues, earnestly I seek you, or your version of the Bible may say, early I seek you. Some of us don't like to get up early. But David here says, I'm in such deep longing for you, God, that I will earnestly, diligently, early go to seek you. He says, my soul thirsts for you. And I think we can all relate to that with the warm weather that we've had, that if you are offered a bottle of water, you will gladly take it to have your thirst quenched. This is the kind of longing that David had for his God. He continues, my flesh faints for you. And so he says, my soul thirsts, my flesh faints. It's his whole being that is longing for God. And then it says, as a dry and weary land. Verse 2 says this, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. David wants to see God. The word there, sanctuary, talking about the presence of God. The temple hadn't been built yet, but David wanted to long for the presence of God. And what did he want to see? God's power and his glory. Verse 3, amazing words. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. And so the sustaining and comforting love of God is better than even life itself. Somebody said this, it is better not to exist than to exist without God's favor. Because your steadfast love is better than life, David is going to worship and praise. And so we see in these few verses, verses 3 and 4, that there is worship happening. My lips will praise you. Verse 4, I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. David is worshiping. And why? Because of God's steadfast love. There again, we read the first words of verse 4. David says, I will bless you as long as I live. I will bless you, God. At family camp several years ago, this is at Camp ABK, often the way things would work is having a speaker speak in the morning sessions, but in the evening there would be a video session. And this one particular week, there was a video series called A Prayer Remix. A Prayer Remix. And it was getting us to think about how we pray. And sometimes we can say words and we don't think about them so much because they're words that we repeat. And so these types of words, bless me, bless us, be with me, watch over and protect me. We say these words, but replacing these with perhaps some more meaningful prayers. Nothing wrong with those, but rather saying, let me bless you. Live through me. No matter what, use me. And since we are focusing on prayer that week, that family camp week, those who were praying in the dining hall had to really watch out what they were saying because we were kind of examining what everybody was praying. But no, the point is that just like David is saying here in verse 4, so I will bless you as long as I live. We can pray for blessing and God does bless us in our lives. He is a generous God, but let's firstly bless the Lord. Verses 6 and 7. He says, when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. So we already said from verse 1, early I will seek you. And here David's saying, even in the watches of the night, I long for your presence, Lord. I want to remember you. God has been a help to David in the past, and so David can rest assured that God would be with him in the wilderness where he was. One song lyric says it this way, I will speak to my fear, I will preach to my doubt, that you were faithful then, and you are faithful now. Have you known the faithfulness of God in your life in the past? Then trust that he will be faithful now. Verse 8, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. We see that not only do we hold on to God to cling to him, but that God, with his strong right hand, is supporting and holding us. Another translation of that first part of verse 8, it may be in your Bibles, it says, my soul follows close behind you. Or this idea that to follow hard after God. And this reminded me of young kids being in the home. Parents, moms perhaps in particular, you can feel like you're never alone because your kids are always there with you. So you're making supper or washing the dishes and they've got their hands in the soap bubbles with you. You go into the washroom and they're banging on the door. You get the idea, though, that those kids are following their parents close behind, and that's the picture of what we should be doing towards our God, following close, clinging to Him because He is worthy, because we go through difficult things, we're in the wilderness, but God is right there. Let's follow closely with Him. Let's just go to verse 11. The king shall rejoice in God. Again, despite David's circumstances in the wilderness, he rejoices in God because God is worthy of our praise. Talking about longing for God, thirsting for God, we can also use the term knowing God. And the Bible has a lot to say about knowing God, not just knowing about Him, but to actually know Him. And not to know Him just for the things that He gives to us. He is a generous God, but we want Him, not just the gifts that He gives us. We desire Him, to be close to Him above anything else. Listen to these verses that talk about knowing God. So Jeremiah 9, Jeremiah wrote these. Thus says the Lord, this is the Lord speaking, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord Almighty. So we're not boasting in anything else, but do we know Him? John 17, verse 3 says this, this is eternal life. What's Jesus going to say? What's eternal life? I think sometimes we can just think of eternal life as our future with the Lord, and that is a big part of it. But when we become Christians, when we know the Lord, that eternal life starts right then. And so we have eternal life right now, but what does Jesus say? This is eternal life, that they know you. They know you, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is life, to know God. And then Paul writes in Philippians 3, he's listed some things that were going, that were good in his life, some things that he had going for him. But then he wrote this. He said, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, as garbage, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul here saying that we can't do good things to earn a right relationship with God. We can't do good things to get to heaven. It is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we have life and that we can know him. Then he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And so we can talk about this longing for God, this deep desire, as simply knowing God. But it isn't simple. It's a lifetime of pursuing the Lord to really know him. So we've already seen some of this expressing longing for God. We've seen this in Psalm 63 already, David expressing his deep desire for the Lord. And we can see this in other psalms. Psalm 42 has these words, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Psalm 84 says it this way, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Psalm 27, one thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And so we see this expression of longing for God in the Psalms. We see it in other parts of the Bible as well. But we also see this expression of longing throughout church history. So Augustine, he lived from 354 to 430 AD. He was a church father and a theologian, and he made an incredible impact on Christianity. But he's quoted as saying this, "Thou," speaking of God, "thou hast made us for thyself, O God, and the heart of man is restless until it finds its rest in thee." And then he wrote this in his book, Confessions. "All my empty dreams suddenly lost their charm, and my heart began to throb with a bewildering passion for the wisdom of eternal truth. My God, how I burned with longing to have wings to carry me back to you, away from all earthly things, although I had no idea what you would do with me." That was Augustine. Another gentleman named Thomas à Kempis, he wrote a devotional book called Of the Imitation of Christ. In the 1400s, he was in the Netherlands, and he wrote this. He said, "Who shall grant unto me, O Lord, that I may find thee alone and open all my heart unto thee and enjoy thee as much as my soul desires, and that no man may henceforth look upon me, nor any creature move me or have respect unto me, but thou alone speak unto me, and I unto thee, even as a beloved is used to speaking unto his beloved, and friend to feast with friend. For this do I pray, that do I long for, that I may be wholly united unto thee, and may withdraw my heart from all created things, and by means of holy communion and frequent celebration may learn more and more to relish heavenly and eternal things. Ah, Lord God, when shall I be entirely united and lost in thee, and altogether forgetful of myself? Thou in me, and I in thee, even so grant that we may in like manner continue together in one." Do we think like this? Do we pray like this? I know I don't, but I should. This is the longing that we should have. One more, a Puritan prayer from the Valley of Vision. This book, it's called Longings After God. And the prayer says this, "My dear Lord, I can but tell thee that you know I long for nothing but yourself, nothing but holiness, nothing but union with your will. You have given me these desires, and you alone can give me the thing desired. My soul longs for communion with you. Wrap my life in divine love and keep me ever desiring thee, always humble and resigned to thy will, more fixed on thyself, that I may be more fitted for doing and for suffering." Longing after God. These expressions of longing we see in the pages of the Bible, we see them through church history, we see them in our day as well. But what robs us of that longing? What robs us of longing for God like we should, like I should? Here are a few things that could rob us. And these are some things that could rob me of that longing. TV, movies. There has never been a time where so much is available to us. We need to turn off these things and focus on the Lord. Now, please hear me. I'm not against these things. I'm all for having some entertainment, so please don't hear that from this message. But take the time to long for the Lord rather than just filling it with all the noise that we have around us. I know for myself that I don't have too much available time in my life between my work commitments and my family, but instead of just turning on something, I can fan into flame my longing for the Lord. Another one, social media. Of course, again, not inherently evil, lots of good, but I can find myself just at 11 o'clock at night, mindlessly scrolling, looking just to see something. I guess those dopamine hits come in there, but I could be using that time better than just mindlessly scrolling, and maybe you can as well. What else could rob us from our longing for God? Well, struggle with sin can rob us of that longing. We can feel defeated, feeling that maybe God doesn't even want us around, which is so far from the truth. Not believing that we can come into his presence because of what we're struggling with. However, during that struggle, that could be the time where we're feeling like we're in the wilderness, that we should be pursuing the Lord even more. That's what David did. We read in Psalm 51, even as the Bible describes his own sin that was mentioned this morning in our first service, that David sought the Lord. He went after the Lord, even though he struggled with sin. There are many other things that could rob us of this longing. I'm not here at all to guilt you into thinking something about what I'm saying, but this is for me. I'm talking to myself here. What robs me of this longing for the Lord? So let's think positively. What stirs up our longing for God and for his son, Jesus? Here's a few things that I wrote down for myself. What stirs up my longing for God? One is hearing my kids sing. And I don't want them to stop singing ever, but no. And hearing other kids sing. This stirs up my longing for the Lord. I remember a particular time being a cabin leader at Camp ABK, and we're at the campfire, and we sang that song that we sang this morning, Lord, you are more precious than silver. And one of the boys in my cabin, he was in a Christian family, he knew the song, but just hearing him sing, that stirred up my longing that, you know, this Jesus thing, it's real, because we hear these words of praise and worship to the Lord. What else can stir up my longing for the Lord? Reading the writings of dead people, and also those who are still alive. And so there have been many things written by men and women through the years that stir up my longing for Jesus. That as I read them, what God has done in their lives, all these things, that stirs up my longing for the Lord, to know the love of our merciful and faithful God. What else? Wednesday mornings here at Bethel. At 9:30, there's a group of men that come to pray together specifically. We also talk together. And so if you do have that time, men, I would encourage you to come, because for those of us who are there, and I know Darcy's watching this morning or when he gets the chance to see it, Darcy doesn't want to miss Wednesday mornings because it stirs up our longing for the Lord and it increases our love for our brothers together. Another one, most people, it seems, don't look forward to going to the dentist, but I do. Because I get to lie down and rest for half an hour. I don't have to talk because I can't. And when I'm there, I think about some verses from the Bible that I've memorized. Psalm 1, Psalm 23 in particular. So as I'm staring at those ceiling tiles, I am reciting in my mind verses to stir up my longing for the Lord. So if you're fearful of the dentist, memorize the Bible and recite those. What else? Written devotionals and prayers. There have been some books that have been written, devotionals, prayers. I'll mention a few in particular. New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp just will stir up your heart for Jesus. Everyday Prayers by Scotty Smith. And then Tim Keller's books on the Psalms and Proverbs. And I know some of you would know these books as well. Stirring up longing for Jesus. And finally, songs. We've sung them this morning. Doesn't this stir up our hearts as we sing in worship along with the musicians on the stage? And then when we hear them on the radio or Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you listen to your songs, you know the songs that will stir up your longing for Jesus. Music is powerful. And then couple that with words of worship and praise to the Lord. It is very inspiring and lifts us up. So what would stir up you, your love and affection for Jesus? I'm sure you have some other things as well. Mentioning Timothy Keller, he was 72 years old and he died recently on May 19th. And he was struggling with pancreatic cancer for 3 years. He served in pastoral ministry for over 40 years. He is an author and just a very influential Christian leader in our day right now. But he said this shortly before his own death. He said this, "I think the way I handle imminent death is by fighting my sin and getting deeper communion with God. Deeper communion with God. This is that longing. This is what he said. And then he often read from the Puritans, but this quote from John Owen is in his John Owen's commentary on the book of Hebrews, but he said this: we are never nearer Christ than when we find ourselves lost in a holy amazement at his unspeakable love. A holy amazement, a longing. Do we have that? I want that more in my life as well. And then lastly, Tim Keller, he just said this about the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what stirs up longing for Jesus. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. This is the gospel. We're broken people. We're sinful people. We do wrong things. That's in us. But don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that you are loved and you are accepted. God sent his son Jesus to the cross to die the death that you and I deserved. This is how much he loved us. And I find that the gospel stirs up my longing for Jesus. Whenever I'm talking one-on-one with somebody and we're talking about the good news of Jesus, or in a Bible study and we're talking about the good news of Jesus, it stirs up my longing for God. And so this morning, again, perhaps you're feeling like you're in a wilderness. I know some of you are. You may be tempted to think that God is far away, that he doesn't want you near him. But I would encourage you, just like David in Psalm 63, to stir up that longing for Jesus. There are many things that can rob us of our spiritual longing. It wouldn't take us long to think about those. But our God is worthy. So read some of the Psalms in the Bible. They will give voice to what we are feeling. Let's stir up our affection for God, because he is worthy of our adoration and our devotion, every little bit that we can give him. For who is like our great God and Savior Jesus Christ? And this morning, if you don't know him, maybe you know some things about God, about Jesus, but you don't know him, then I would encourage you, embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Turn from your sin. Believe that what Jesus did on the cross was for you, and you can be forgiven. You can know him. You can love him. You can serve him in this life, and you are promised a future with him forever. Longing for God. Let's stir this up in our hearts, even as we live in the time that we live in now. We're going to close by singing one more song together. The worship team will come up. But if you are going through a wilderness right now and you're finding it unbearable, please talk to somebody. Sometimes we need to talk to somebody. We do have Stephen ministers if you'd like to have somebody come alongside you to talk with, but also long and cling to God. Let's pray together. As I pray, would you stand with me now, please? Let's stand together. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for words in a psalm, this poem that David wrote, that can give words with how we can express our longing and our deep desire for you. Lord, we know the wilderness that we live in this world. In many ways, we all live in a wilderness, and it's difficult, it's tough. And we realize, Father, I realize how desperately I need you. And so, Father, may I thirst for you. May I cling to you. May I know your steadfast love that is better than life. May I bless you as long as I live. May my soul be satisfied with you. May I remember you, whether it's early in the morning or late at night. Thank you that you have been my help. You've been our help. And we can cling to you, Father, through whatever we're going through. You are a faithful Father. Thank you for our time together. Thank you that we can sing these songs of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.